There are times, every passage of Scripture is important. We all know that. We all understand that. But there are certain times when you get to talk about your heroes. And I get to talk about one of my heroes today. His name is Caleb. It's in our continuing study in the book of Joshua. And the land has been basically conquered. Joshua chapter 11 says that the land rested from war, but kind of, because you know how when a job is about 90% done, that last 10% sometimes is the toughest part. Actually cleaning the tools and putting them away. I had a youth director when I was a kid, a youth pastor, and he said, when I get home from vacation, he said, I pull in the garage, and we don't go in and sit down, we don't do anything, because we get everything put away, we get everything cleaned, and we get, before we do anything, we finish the job. I thought, boy, he's my hero. Israel had most of the job done, but they had that extra little percentage that needed to be done because it wasn't quite conquered. In Joshua chapter 13, God says to Moses, you're very old and there's still a lot of land to be conquered. That's kind of where they were. And we're introduced in this distribution of the land to a man named Caleb. And we're going to see two scenes of this man that God used in a mighty, mighty way. The first scene, we go all the way back to Numbers chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, we find that Israel has kind of marched across the wilderness, full of hope, full of vitality, full of vigor. Boy, they've got dreams, they've got hopes, things are going to happen, and things are going to happen big time. And so they go marching across, and they come to the border of the Promised Land, and Moses says, okay, we're going to send out 12 spies. They send out 12 spies, and they all see the same thing. They all see the same land. God said it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. It said it was a very productive, a very prosperous land. And they went in and they looked at the land. And they all saw the same thing, and they come back with a report. There they reported to them, and the whole assembly showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 26, Numbers 13. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. And here is the fruit, big clusters of grapes. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Basic line, we can't do it. Then Caleb, bless his heart, silenced the people before Moses and said, we should certainly go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. And you know what the people say? They say, wait a minute, the 10 spies, the majority report, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We were just little beady annoyances to them. And that's the way they looked at us. Anybody have any idea how they knew what the giants thought? Do you think that they went up to a giant and said, say, do you think I look like a grasshopper? No, they were just projecting. They were just looking out. We seemed like grasshoppers. How funny, they all saw the same thing, but when Caleb saw it, he said, we can do this. And when they saw it, they said, we can't. The problem is they all saw the same thing, but they perceived something different. The spies, the 10 spies, the majority report, they saw big giants and a little God. When Joshua and Caleb went, they saw a big God and little giants. They said, if God is with us, we can do this. If God is with us, we can pull this off. And it says in Joshua that the hearts of the people melted with fear. Do you have any idea how much fear plays into destroying our ability to thrive in the abundant Christian life? We're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid of the potential in front of us. We're afraid of the giants. We're afraid of the enemy. We're afraid of all of those things that can do us in. We're afraid. It is a thriving killer. It'll just destroy everything. And the more we fear, the smaller God gets in our eyes. The more we fear, the bigger the giants get. That's what was going on in the lives of the people. And they said, we can't do it. We're backing away from this. I'm sorry, God, but we just can't trust you. We can't really believe that you can do this. You're just not big enough. And that's what they thought. God is not big enough to take care of this. God may be with us, but the giants are bigger than God is. We can't pull it off. And God said, okay, here's the deal. 40 years of wandering. 40 years we're going to see a whole generation gone. And only two of this generation are going to enter the promised land. One is named Caleb and one is named Joshua, the two spies that were faithful, the two spies that actually saw a big God and dreamed a big God and dreamed of what could be instead of being afraid of what is. Same experiences, different people, different response. Too many of us are waiting for the situation to change so that we can thrive. Too many of us have our eyes on the pain of the moment. Didn't you love that testimony this morning? Yes, we did, Jim. Great testimony. It was a great word. And you know what you saw in that God moment this morning? You saw people who had an unexpected turn of events, stuck in some hole in the wall, KOA campground, and I can't even remember the name of the place where they were. Their world shrunk to 1.3 miles. And you know what I heard in that God moment this morning? They were thriving. They were thriving. And you know what I believe? I believe if we called them back up here right now, they'd say we thrived more on that circumstance than we would have if all of our plans would have been met, because we wouldn't have even seen God's provision. We wouldn't even have seen God's blessing. Isn't that the fabulous way God works, when you have that perspective that says, I thrive in God because God is here, not because the circumstance is good, not because the situation is great. People saw, they saw their presence, those Jews, that was determined by their own weakness and their own inability. God said, 40 years of wandering, 40 years of wandering. And notice, Caleb was the one who was faithful. Joshua was the one who was faithful. But they had to go through that wilderness wandering just like everyone else. Here's the difference. Just like Caleb saw opportunity in the promised land and was going to thrive there where they couldn't thrive, in the wilderness, do you think that Caleb was just surviving? Absolutely not, because his ability to thrive was not based on the circumstance. It was based on the God that walked with him. What thriving meant for Caleb in the wilderness is, number one, he trusted God even though there was a 40-year delay. We can even extend that out to 45. God said to Caleb, I'll take you into the promised land, but it's going to be 40 years. 40 years. What were you doing 40 years ago? Some of you weren't even born. You've lived your whole life, and it hasn't come to that point yet where you've met that 40-year mark. Barbara and I, we were in Costa Rica, kind of getting our feet wet, just starting a ministry. Where were you 40 years ago? That's a long time to wait. That's a long time to put off God's promise. But you know what? He wasn't just waiting for the 40 years. He was dreaming of that. He was thriving in the moment. Because he'll say later, I fully followed God. And that's the real secret to thriving. Fully following God with all of your heart. It's not the rosiness of the situation or the circumstance around you. It's a heart that is devoted and following God with everything that you have. We never have any record of Caleb. By the way, Caleb didn't whine or get bitter. We have no record of him whining. We have no record of him complaining. And he had to suffer the hardship just with everyone else. But his whole perspective was different. He had to go out and gather the manna. He had to go out and do all of these things. And he didn't take shortcuts. He's thriving. What's happening to the other Jews of that generation? They stopped circumcising their children. They stopped celebrating the Passover. They just eked out, scratched out an existence. And here you have Caleb, this marvelous individual thriving in the situation. You want to know who Caleb is? Did you know that Caleb wasn't even Jewish by birth? Caleb was a Kenizzite. A Kenizzite was one of the peoples of Canaan that they were going to displace. Just imagine, here's a man who comes in who is an unlikely hero. You see him, the hero of the spies. You see him, the hero that we're going to see in just a moment. He wasn't even Jewish, but somehow or another, God brings this person, this Kenizzite, and elevates him to a position of promise, elevates him to a position of faith. So he thrives in the wilderness. He does what God is going to, what calls him to do. He looks forward to that day when God will complete his promise. But in the meantime, I'm going to live my life the way God has called me to live it. The time for conquest comes. That final moment when they're to cross over into the promised land. And he crosses with them. He didn't cross before. He didn't take a shortcut. He moves with the Jews across the Jordan, and all of a sudden he identifies with a new generation. He sees a new generation of people who decide, you know what, we need to get back to God. It's time to circumcise, to be circumcised once again. It's time to celebrate the Passover. Caleb is one who witnesses as they pick up those big stones in the middle of the Jordan River and they set up a memorial to God and say, you know what, we need to remember what God is doing in our hearts and lives. And suddenly he's in that moment where he's thriving with a nation. He's thriving with a group of people who are once again at a heart with him. But he's following God. He's doing what God has called him to do. He's fighting the battles with him. He's walking arm in arm. He's trusting God to keep the promise because he could have gotten back into the land and say, you know what, God owes me and I'm through fighting the battles. No, he fights side by side with him for 5 long years. 5 years he fights with him, doing what God has called him to do, being the person that God could have caused him to be. Wait a minute, these are battles to be fought. What happens if he gets killed in the meantime? There's a risk involved, isn't there? But somehow or another, Caleb has that faith to look forward and to say, I'm in God's hands, doing God's work the way God has called me to do it. He trusts God to keep him faithful and he trusts God to keep him safe and to deliver on his promise. He hears the voice of God that says, there's land to be conquered, there are things to be done. And then there comes that moment when the land is distributed. There comes that moment when the blessing comes and Caleb says, okay, it's time to claim God's promises. But Caleb has not just been looking for that day. All that time he's been living faithfully. Joshua chapter 14 comes to that place where the allotment comes to Caleb. Now the people of Judah approach Joshua, verse 6. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, the Kenizzite. Every time we see Caleb's name, we see that word Kenizzite. I think that that ought to help a lot of us. You know, there are people that are very public in terms of their leadership. You always see their name, Moses, Joshua, different people like that who are always leading the crowd. Caleb wasn't leading the crowd. He was just quietly doing what God called him to do, quietly being what God called him to be. We see him in Numbers 13, and suddenly we see him again. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me, he says. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. It didn't matter what the 10 said. I brought back a minority report that I believed to be true. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I watched as people trusted a false report instead of trusting God. I, however, followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years, 45 years, 45 years waiting for God's promise to be completed. 45 years, not sitting souring, but thriving in God. So here I am today, 85 years old, still as strong as the day that Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle as I was then. So, 85 years old, what will he ask for? He's got the whole promised land out in front of him. What will he ask for? How about a vineyard in the plain? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Nice, beautiful vineyard, good wine press, kind of sitting on the veranda, looking out over his property, sipping wine and eating cheese. What could be better than that? You know what Caleb thought could be better than that? He said, there's a mountain over there. It's never been conquered. And the Anakites live there. You know who the Anakites were? You have to go all the way back to Numbers chapter 13, where the people said, we even saw the sons of Anak, the giants. And we knew we couldn't take them. And Caleb says, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. Caleb didn't seek the vineyard in the plain. He sought the giants on the mountain. Because he said, there's something out there that stood in the path of people thriving for God. There's something out there that made people doubt God, that made people believe that God really couldn't come through to them for them. And they still haven't gotten past that. They still haven't gotten to that point. Their hearts are still kind of quivering when they think of the sons of Anak. Their hearts are still fearful when they think about confronting that area that remains to be conquered. He said, that's what I want. Because I want to show people what can be done when you fully follow God. I want to show people what can be done when you thrive in the Lord. Not because I am there, but because God is there. The land we pass through is exceedingly good, he says in Numbers 14. If the Lord is pleased, he will lead us into that land. If the Lord is pleased, he will lead us in. He was bold enough to call out God's promise. He was bold enough to follow God's call. He was bold enough to see what needed to be done. His blessing was greater. His blessing was in greater faith and challenge, not in the abundance or relaxing in old memories. He said, I'm 85 years old and I'm not ready to go away. I'm 85 years old and there are still lands to be conquered. There are still things to be done. So many of us think that the living the abundant life means we sit around waiting for God to drop something on us. That's not what the abundant life is all about. The abundant life is trusting and fully following God. It's reaching out for new challenges and new areas of faith. The more you live the abundant life, the more ability you have to trust. That's what God is looking for, a heart that fully follows him. That's why we celebrate the communion together. Because there's that element that says, if God is with us, who can be against us? There's that element that says, Jesus Christ welcomes us into the faith, and welcoming us into the faith, he gives us the power of his presence. And we thank God for who he is and what he's done. We thank God that he opens the door for us, he opens the pathway and invites us to walk through, invites us to embrace his sacrifice and to fully follow him. When Jesus was betrayed, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he reminded the disciples of that sacrifice that he had made for them. Let's take us a moment and just pray and thank God for what we have in front of us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, we look and see a man who could have asked for anything he wanted, and when it came to for that moment, when it came for that request, Lord, he said, give me a greater ability to trust. Give me a greater ability to have faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we remember Jesus for what he has done for us today. We remember him for his blessing of his gift. We pray, Lord, that you will bless it to us today in Jesus' name. Amen.